Estou Radio Olympia. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining me tonight on this stream. We're live on Rumble and Odyssey, also over on Entropy. Please do share the link, because I think tonight's stream is going to be a really, really interesting stream. We've got a lot to cover, and I think this case, or the case of Golders Green, highlights something very, very important. Now, I'm not the only person talking about this, which is actually quite interesting, because when I decided to make this stream, when I decided to tee this up and I thought, this is what I'm going to talk about on Friday, I thought I'd be the only person who would be bold enough to come out and make a stream like this. But I've actually seen lots of normie content creators and just people I've never heard of who just do the sort of, I'm going to talk into the camera and post 2 minutes of my thoughts discussing the very issue we're going to be discussing tonight. Now, that might annoy some people, because some people say, oh, well, Mark, doesn't that make you a bit redundant? You know, well, no, because I'm going to do this in a more in-depth way, but I'm actually very happy normal people are noticing these things. And I'm going to still talk about them, but do it in a slightly more in-depth way, break everything down and give the kind of deeper take that these normies aren't giving, which I think is important, because I hope at some point, you know, one of the lasting legacies of my work is it can be used as a reference point for people who may want to produce more digestible content, or who want to do something that's shorter, or who want to look back and look at something really in depth to see what people were saying at the time and to understand how things played out and the commentary came together immediately in the aftermath of one of these incidents. Now, I put a lot of effort into doing these particular presentations. Everything's done live. This is me on camera speaking to you. None of this is AI. None of this has been sort of fed into ChatGPT, waiting for a big screed to come out and setting it to an AI voice. This is me talking to you live on a Friday night, as I've always pledged to be. So if you do support that and you support my work, please do consider making a donation. Or if you want to ask a question, correct me, or you think I've missed something out, please do feel free to correct me. You can do that by sending a donation. You can donate directly through Rumble. You can donate via Entropy. Everything is very, very gratefully received. We're now into the start of a new month. Please do help me get through this month if you can. You can also donate if you're watching on replay. You can donate 24/7 through Entropy. Please do consider giving something. It would really help. Please don't leave it up to the same people who always do the heavy lifting. Anyway, you can also donate via crypto. All the crypto links in the description below. And you can write to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. You can also now follow me and donate to me on Substack. Please check out my Substack, because I've got a big new article today, over 3,000 words. And it's on a traitorous conservative that you will all know. And hopefully after reading my article, you will all know not to like him. His name's Jacob Rees-Mogg. And my article about Jacob Rees-Mogg explains that he isn't this based Tory that some people have made him out to be. He's actually someone who at best is a race-blind integrationist. At worst, he is an anti-white who wants to replace us. Please check that out. Took a lot of time researching and putting together, but I think everyone will like it. And thank you to the people who've been so kind to share that article. It's had some great responses from people like Way of the World and Morgoth, and I can't thank them enough for taking the time to read such a lengthy article, enjoying it and sharing it. And if you guys could do the same, I would really appreciate that. Anyway, let's get into the stream. I don't want to keep you waiting any longer. Now, why am I going to talk about the Golders Green attack? Well, before we talk about it, let's just lay out what happened. This is another attack, again, involving a man with a knife. This time it was in Golders Green, and two Jewish men were stabbed. Now, I know some people are going to be making videos or commentary saying, oh, well, look, you know, it was people from this particular community that were stabbed. These people were, you know, overrepresented in calling for migrants. And they're going to try and do that. Mine's going to be a bit of a different video, though. It's not going to be that. So if that's what you came here for, I apologize. But please stick around, because I think what I'm going to put together is going to be slightly more interesting than that. I think you're going to enjoy it a little bit more. I think it's going to be more in depth. And I think it's going to be something that you could share with maybe your normie friends. I think it's going to be something that will be really thought-provoking, especially for people who haven't looked at this issue in this particular way. Now, the first thing to note about this attack is it's very similar to other attacks, specifically the one that happened in Southport in 2024. Now, the Southport attack was much worse than the Golders Green attack, much worse, more horrific. The ferocity of the attack, the damage done, the fact people were killed, it was a much worse attack. But there are a number of real similarities. And there are also a number of similarities here to the Nottingham spree killing that happened a few years earlier. In that case, the guy was called Valdo Calacane. He was in Nottingham, apparently studying something like mechanical engineering, which I'm not really sure he earned his place at that university. I think he was gifted it. But there were, it's not just about Southport. There are other attacks, and we're going to look at other attacks. We're going to focus on Southport because that's the direct comparison, but I will bring up other attacks such as the Nottingham spree killing, and I'm sure we'll reference the Manchester Arena bombing as well. But before we get into looking at the responses, because that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at the responses to these primarily two different incidents. We're going to look at the response to Golders Green and the response to Southport. We're going to compare them. We're going to see how the media treated both cases. We're going to see how politicians treated both cases. We're going to see how the police treated both cases. And we're also going to reference these other cases. There's going to be a little bit of referencing, as I said, of Nottingham, Manchester and other attacks. So we can see how the response to what went down in Golders Green compares to these other incidents. But before we look at the responses, I think we should look at how similar the cases of Golders Green and Southport are, as I don't think it's fair to compare the outcome of the attacks and the responses to the attacks if the cases were massively different. If these two cases were sort of so different, night and day, it wouldn't really be fair to then compare the outcome or the police or the media response. But they are remarkably similar, so similar that I think some people might actually be shocked. Now, first, let's look at the ethnicity of the attackers. Now, Axel Ruda-Cabana, he was the killer who carried out the Southport massacre. Now, these are not my words. And I want to just quick sort of combo breaker here, quick stop, right, before we get into it, because I'm going to use terms like British citizen, British national, and these aren't my terms. These are government terms. These are the terms that the government ascribed to these people. I'm an ethno-nationalist. I don't think these people should be living in this country. I don't think they should have any form of citizenship. However, they do. So we're talking about that. So if you're one of these people in the chat, so you go, Mark, why are you saying you're a British national? Why? He's not British. Look at him. He's not English, Scottish or Welsh. I understand that, but I'm using the official terms. Now, Axel Ruda-Cabana was known as a British national of Rwandan heritage. He was actually a British citizen. He was born on British soil, born in Cardiff on August the 7th of 2006. But he was of Rwandan heritage. Both of his parents, they moved to the UK from Rwanda in 2002, and they are from the Tutsi ethnic group. He would be classed on the census as Black British, but he is clearly of African descent. His family moved here within the last quarter of a century. Although he was born on British soil, both his parents were Rwandan, so he is clearly himself a Rwandan, born on British soil with British citizenship. Now, the killer Not the killer. He didn't kill anyone. The man who did the stabbing at Golders Green, his name is Issa Suleiman. Now, he is also a British national, but this time of Somali heritage. So again, classes as a British national, just like Axel Ruda Cabana. But this time, rather than being Rwandan, he's Somali, but both African. Now, his nationality, he is not a British citizen. He's not a British citizen by birth. He is what is known as a naturalized British citizen who migrated to the United Kingdom legally as a child in the 1990s. So slight differences here, but both of them are British nationals with African heritage. His ethnic background is he is Somalian. He was born in Somalia. Now, that would be his ethnic origin. Both of them are what would be described as African. You can see very, very similar backgrounds. So straight away, this isn't a case of comparing night and day. This is two very, very similar attackers. I was going to say killers. I keep wanting to say killers, but Issa Suleiman did not kill anybody. And that's important to remember. So the first major similarity is ethnically, their background is very similar. They were both listed as British nationals, both of African heritage. One of them was born here to two Rwandan parents. One of them is classed as a naturalized British citizen who migrated to the UK legally with his parents as a child. Now, the other thing that unites them, and this is massive, is they have a very similar criminal history. Now, you might remember I've done a couple of deep dives on Axel Ruda Cabana. I've also got a really good article, I'm saying so myself, up on my Substack about Axel Ruda Cabana and the Southport cover-up. And as everyone will know by now, Axel Ruda Cabana had an extensive history of violence. He had been involved in multiple incidents involving knives and attacks on other pupils at school. He had been arrested and had a criminal record for attacking people with bladed articles. And shortly before he committed the horrendous spree killing in Southport, he was actually stopped on a bus with a knife threatening people. And the police just took him home and said to his parents, look, you need to hide the knives more carefully so he can't get hold of them. And also, Axel Ruda Cabana was someone who was extensively known to the security services. He was somebody that had been referred to Prevent and numerous other agencies. So there was definitely some form of, what could we call it, counter-terror intervention with Axel Ruda Cabana. Now, remember, that's not an extensive look at him. I'm not going to sit here for 10 minutes going through his complete history because I've done this so many times and I don't want my regulars to think, gosh, Mark, you're going through the same points that you've done on numerous streams and in numerous articles, because at that point it all gets a bit boring and it all gets a little bit pointless and repetitive. So let's have a look at Issa Suleiman, because Issa Suleiman is someone that we don't know yet and I haven't spoken about yet. Now, interestingly, he has a very similar criminal history to Axel Ruda Cabana. He has previous convictions, one from 2008 for stabbing a police officer, for which he was sentenced to 9 years in prison for GBH after what the press called a frenzied attack. And this took place in Swindon. He repeatedly stabbed a police officer by the name of Neil Sampson in the head, face and leg with a bread knife, and also stabbed his police dog, Anya, in the chest. He also injured a second officer during the incident. Now, he was sentenced in 2008 to 9 years, and the court heard he actually had a string of earlier convictions for assaulting police officers and had also previously attacked somebody who is sharing a flat with. So this guy has, again, an extensive criminal history. He has used knives. He's been a violent offender. And he was also someone who was who used psycho-altering drugs. He used different mind-altering substances, and he attributed, or the court attributed, his previous violence to addiction to a variety of different drugs, which apparently triggered psychotic episodes. Now, the reason I bring this up is not because of Axel Ruder Cabana, but there's a lot of stuff on Essa Sullivan that's coming out now about mental health, about the fact that he'd had several run-ins with the hospital. He'd had several run-ins with mental health officers, people who'd assessed him and said that he had serious mental issues, which is very similar to Valdo Calocane, the Nottingham killer. Now, interestingly, and we're going to come back to this later, the most recent criminal activity that Sullivan was involved in before the Golders Green stabbing was he actually stabbed another person in another case of attempted murder before he went to Golders Green. So he actually stabbed another man, this time a Muslim, actually, on the very same day. The police were actually looking for him when he went on the rampage in Golders Green, and they were looking for him because he'd already done this elsewhere in London to another man. But the other man was Muslim, not Jewish. Remember this, because we're coming back to this. Now, interestingly, Sullivan was also referred to Prevent. He was referred to Prevent in 2020. Now, this was when he was serving his custodial sentence for stabbing the police officer, the police dog, and assaulting the other officer. But Prevent closed his case within 6 weeks of the same year, and they said he didn't meet the threshold for any continued intervention. Very similar to Axel Ruder Cabana. So here are three big things. Number one, both of them are classed as black British. They both had British citizenship, but one was Rwandan, one was Somalian. Neither of them should have been here. Number one. Number two, both of them had an extensive criminal history involving knives. Neither of them should have been out on the street. And finally, the other thing they had in common, they had both been referred to Prevent. And Prevent had turned them away, said, look, you know, no case to answer here. Now, my argument at this point is neither of them should have been here. Neither of them should have been free to walk the streets in Britain. And the fact they were is probably a result of two things: open border policy and the fact that the police, Prevent, counter-terror, and a range of different state bodies treat these violent black offenders with kid gloves so that the crime statistics don't prove people like me right. Really, that's the crux of it, isn't it? These people are like, well, you know, we don't want to put him through the Prevent program and put a big mark by the side of his name, because if we do and we ever have to make it clear who we are carrying out interventions with, then it's going to prove people like Mark Collett right. So that's a big thing. That's a big thing. So those are the three things. Very similar ethnicity, extensive history of violence, and Prevent referrals that never went anywhere because Prevent are more bothered about arresting nationalists who have the wrong book on their bookshelf. Now let's look at the key difference in these cases. And I made a slight mistake earlier, didn't I? Because I described them both as killers. And the key difference is Southport was horrific. Three little girls died. Multiple people were hospitalized. And the severity and ferocity of the attack was almost unheard of. People stabbed dozens and dozens of times. The ferocity with which Axel Ruder Cabana carried out that attack would suggest some kind of emotional, sexual motive. He attacked in the same way that you would see sort of a frenzied serial killer or a jilted lover. It was truly, truly off the scale. And that was something that was hidden at the time. That was part of the actual Southport cover-up, that they didn't tell people how violent the attack was for fear of people being even angrier than they were. Now, the Golders Green attack, still awful. Don't want to see anyone stabbed. No one should be running around with a knife, stabbing people, just going about their business. Still terrible, but nowhere near as bad. Two men were hospitalized, and that was it. It was not as serious as Southport. So we have the three similarities, but we have this one big difference. Although the two perpetrators, the two knife-wielding maniacs, were very similar in these three ways, their attacks, the attacks themselves, were different in their severity, with Golders Green being nowhere near as serious. But let's see now how the media, the politicians, and the establishment in general have treated this case, because this is the important thing. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the BBC website. Now, when I first saw this and decided to do this stream Wednesday, it's now Friday for those watching on replay or in the future, this page was about 3 pages long. It's now 8 pages. This is still being sort of reported on in real time. And the BBC aren't dropping this. This isn't going anywhere. Unlike Southport, this isn't going anywhere. This isn't the case where they're going to say it was a Welsh choir boy, show you a picture of a black man when he was a little boy at school by a TARDIS dressed up as Doctor Who. They are going full bore on this. So let's get into it and let's see what people think. So let's start here. And this is where the news broke. And the person breaking the news was Lucy Manning, who's listed here as a special correspondent. Now, Lucy Manning, I don't know if she's Jewish, but she does deal with issues pertaining to the Jewish community. So she could be Jewish. She might be. She might not. I don't actually know whether she's Jewish. So I'm not going to make that call, and I'm not going to say anything further about her. Now, this is where the news breaks, and this is the 29th of April. This is Wednesday. Two people have been stabbed in Golders Green in North London after a man with a knife was seen running down the high street attempting to stab Jewish people in the area. Now, this is interesting, because the first thing said here is not only were two people stabbed, but that he was specifically aiming to stab Jewish people in the area. Now, I don't know how that's been ascertained, because as we said earlier, he stabbed a Muslim earlier in the day. So was he actually aiming to stab Jewish people, or is this the case of a false flag? And remember, a false flag isn't something that is necessarily set up by the state. It can be an incident that does occur and then is seized upon by the state, twisted and used to bring in new laws, to pass new legislation, or potentially to give money to a particular cause or even to declare war. Anyway, she says here that then the Shomrim, the Jewish Community Security Organization, said they responded immediately and detained a suspect. The police then arrived, tasered him and arrested him. The victims are being treated by Zola, whose ambulance was set on fire across the road from today's incident last month. So Lucy Manning, being very good at what she's doing here, makes it very, very clear that firstly, Jews were specifically targeted. Secondly, that it was their vigilante task force, the Shomrim, who saved the day, and that it was the Jewish ambulances who treated them. And, you know, they were set on fire a while ago. And let's face it, if they hadn't been replaced, these innocent Jews could be dead. There's a lot packed into this. So bear in mind, there's only 8 lines of actual text relating to the story. But in those 8 lines, you can already see it is packed, and I mean packed, with propaganda. Compare that to Southport. There was nowhere near that kind of information coming out of Southport. There certainly wasn't a white vigilante force to detain Axel Ruder Cabana. There wasn't any special ambulances for the white community. And no one said that this guy was specifically looking for white people. So you can see already the tone is very politicized. It wasn't in Southport. In Southport, it was being played down. Here, two Jewish men suffered serious injuries. So, you know, just 13 minutes later, she confirms that it was Jewish men who were stabbed. Serious injuries, serious. So, you know, playing up the severity and again, reinforcing that there was an absolute ethnic angle to this. She goes on, one man stabbed outside shops, another outside the synagogue, says resident. And this is where they start to piece this together. This is a another way to inject a little bit of ethnic bias here. You know, it was outside the synagogue. These weren't just people doing the shopping. They were outside the synagogue. And this, again, paints the narrative that the knife man absolutely was looking for Jews, because not only was he in gold as green, but he did it outside the synagogue, a place where you would go to find Jews, a place where Jews need to be protected, you know. And then here's a little map. Board of Deputies says it's working with the police to ensure a forceful response. Now, this is really interesting. The Board of Deputies of British Jews has also issued a statement. We are aware of a reported stabbing incident in Golders Green with two injured. The police have apprehended the subject. We are liaising with the CST. You see, the Jews have their own little body called the Community Security Trust. Whites wouldn't be allowed such a thing. It'd be called vigilantism, but they're allowed it, you know, the government and the police, to understand what has happened and ensure a forceful response. So bear that in mind, a forceful response. Now, the very opposite was said at Southport, the very opposite. There was nothing about a forceful response. There was cause for calm. Nothing about a forceful or robust response. What do they mean by a forceful or robust response? This is one guy stabbing people. I mean, when one guy stabs white girls, there's no forceful response. It's an individual. An individual did something crazy. Well, these things happen. It's awful. Move on. Who can we respond to? He's already in custody. But now, a forceful response. Golders Green stabbing, deeply concerning. This is still before 1 p.m. on the same day. Deeply disturbing, says Starmer. So Starmer's already in Parliament, you know, minutes after this took place, minutes after. Remember, the first reporting of this was just after 12 o'clock. Minutes later, maybe about half an hour later, he's in Parliament. You know, he says an investigation is now ongoing, adding the country needs to be absolutely clear in our determination to deal with any of these offences and the likes of which we've seen too much of recently. Well, he doesn't mean knife attacks, because there's something like 53,000 knife attacks in Britain every year, and he isn't really caring or concerned about them. He's talking about the Jewish aspect of this case. Still within the same hour, Golders Green MP says she's meeting Home Secretary immediately. So immediately within the hour, the MP for Golders Green is meeting the Home Secretary. The MP for Finchley and Golders Green, Sarah Sackman, who is Jewish, says she's meeting the Home Secretary imminently to discuss the attack in her constituency. I've been aware of a serious stabbing in Golders Green. The suspect has been detained, says Sackman in a statement. She thanks the Shomrim, again reinforcing the fact that Jews have a right to a vigilante group. Vital work. The attacks on British Jews are an attack on Britain itself. It's unconscionable that Jews are being targeted this way, she says. Well, this is all within the first hour. But within the first hour, the BBC, the British Board of Deputies, the MP for the area, and seemingly Keir Starmer are all absolutely convinced that this was a targeted attack on Jews. So much so that they're putting this out on the BBC. They're making statements in Parliament. Remember Southport, completely different, almost a diametrically opposed response. Then we have the London mayor saying an arrest was made. Well, you know, there we go. He says he's going to be providing updates. And again, reinforced, two Jewish Londoners had been attacked in Golders Green. And their ethnicity really matters. It really matters that they were Jewish. I can't remember a single newspaper saying, why did Axel Ruder Cabana specifically target white girls at an implicitly white event in a white area? But no. They can't stop telling you that this was Jews who were targeted. Now, this is interesting. So here we have 13:14. So just around, I think, an hour after the news broke, we actually have the first pictures of the attack. Here are some of the first images from Golders Green taken from social media. The first shows the apparent moment a suspect was arrested, while the second shows the wider response by emergency services. You can see clips in our carousel at the top of the page. I don't think we've ever seen any footage from Southport. I don't think we've ever seen any footage of the victims. We've never seen any footage of the arrest. I've never seen any footage from inside the dance studio. That was all covered up. Here, however, it's all being painted in lurid detail. And the BBC make the note that you can check it out on the carousel at the top of the page. Look at it. Look at the horror. Well, in Southport, the shutters were pulled down. No one was allowed to see anything. People were warned, don't speculate on social media. We, you know, Axel Rudakabana's social media was scrubbed long before his name came out, so no one could even get his picture. But here you have it. First pictures from the attack reposted, not hidden, not a warning, not social media has been ordered to take these down. These are being shared on the BBC website. Still less than 2 hours after the attack, Starmer, those responsible will be brought to justice. Now, I'm not really sure what to make of this, because one guy did the stabbing. He's been arrested. He wouldn't have been interviewed by then. They wouldn't have got to the bottom of it. But he's saying how utterly appalling this was. He brands the attacks anti-Semitic. Again, he thanks Shomrim and Hatzolah, because of course he does. He reiterates what they're all saying, and this is like the mantra. You know when you see these sort of films where everyone's in some kind of cult and are just repeating the statement? Well, the statement here from the cult is, attacks on our Jewish community are attacks on Britain. Attacks on Jews are an attack on everyone. This is the narrative. It's like they're all reading off a script, isn't it? But those responsible will be brought to justice. Not, look, we've got somebody in custody. We need to call for calm. We need to ascertain what's happened. We are looking into it. We've got our best people on the job. But let's not go too far. That was the Southport narrative. Totally different here. Footage appears to show moment of the attack. Well, look. They're banging up the CCTV now. Now, this is interesting, really interesting, because we're talking now just over 2 hours from the breaking of the initial news. And the BBC have already got not just stills from social media, but CCTV footage from the area. It's incredible, isn't it, what they can do when they want to. And that needs to be absolutely stated. When they want to, this is what they can do. When they want to do something like this, when they want this response, they can pull it out of the bag, but they'll never do it when whites are the victims. So here we are. Still less than 2 hours after the news broke, suspect also attempted to stab police. Victims are in a stable condition. Counter-terror police lead the investigation. So here we say he tried to stab the police. They give more details on the two who've got stab wounds. 45-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of attempted murder, taken into a custody. Specialist officers from counter-terrorism policing are leading the investigation. So already they're teeing this up in your mind. This is an act of terrorism. Pizza shop worker says he helps the elderly victim. Warning! This post contains distressing details. A pizza shop worker has spoken of the moment he helped an older man bleeding from his neck. Now, these are quite gory details. Remember, we are still less than 2 hours after the news broke. And they are looking for anything to post at this point. You know, and it says here, you know, he was bleeding from the neck. The suspect wasn't running away. The suspect was pointed out to police and he was just walking down the road with the knife. Again, this kind of detail never came out after Southport. There was just absolute silence. Now, here we go. Just under 2 hours after it was initially reported, There is an epidemic of violence against Jewish people, says Badenoch. Look at her stupid face. Some reaction now from the Conservative Party, with the leader of the opposition, Kemi Badenoch, saying Jewish people in the UK are under constant attack. What an absolute wretched scumbag that woman is. There is no longer a growing pattern. There is an epidemic of violence against Jewish people, she writes on X. Total crap. When have politicians ever spoken like this about white people being attacked? Whether it's grooming, Southport, the Nottingham attack, the Manchester Arena bombing, never. Look at her stupid face. It's enraging to see these people acting like this. She shouldn't be in the country either. I can tell you that now. She is no friend of ours, and any decent white Briton that votes for her is not a decent white Briton. She is anti-white. She says there's a national emergency which needs to be treated as such by the government and public authorities. Shadow Home Secretary Chris Philip has called today's incident an appalling anti-Semitic attack. He separately tells the BBC he has spoken to a mother in Golders Green who is too scared to send her children to school because of these attacks. Because of these attacks. Well, there's been one attack. And again, it repeats, attacks on our Jewish community are attacks on Britain. That's the mantra, guys. But here, we have politicians talking in a way about this attack that they would never, ever dare if it was about an attack on white people. And no one spoke like this after Southport. No one spoke like this after Southport. In fact, quite the opposite. It was all the calls for calm. It was all the calls for being understanding. It was the calls for making sure that people didn't start using this kind of hyperbole. And remember, this is less than 2 hours after the news broke. We're not even two pages into this yet. Again, less than 2 hours after the news broke, what we know and don't know about the attack on two Jewish men in North London. Police have arrested a 45-year-old man. The two victims, one in his 70s and 30s, are in a stable condition. According to local residents, one was stabbed outside shops. The other, again, outside the synagogue. This is just sort of a bit of a rundown. The suspect also attempted to stab the Met officers. What we don't know, the background or nationality of the subject, police say they're working to establish this. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? After Southport, there was this big thing. It was a Welsh choir boy. Anyone that said he was African, you know, was actually called out on BBC. Me and Joe Marsh were subject to a BBC programme that said we should be jailed for calling Axel Ruder Cabana an African. But here they're trying to establish this, probably because they were hoping he was Iranian. If police are looking for anybody else in connection with the attack, when the victims might be discharged from hospital or the extent of their injuries. Police considering all possible motives. Now, this is the first. This is 2 hours in. This is the first piece of restrained reporting we see. All possible motives. Whilst I must stress, this is the head of counter-terrorism policing, Lawrence Taylor. Whilst I must stress this investigation is at an early stage, we are working quickly to understand what happened. They are grateful to officers who acted swiftly, and they are considering all possible motives, which is a bit of a pullback from what they said earlier. Golders Green attack, are you in the area? Now, this is hilarious, isn't it? The BBC are like, come forward, give us all the salacious information you can. We're looking for you. We need to fill this timeline. We need to keep this rolling. Exact opposite with things like Southport, Nottingham, etc., where they played it right down. Three were treated at scene with air ambulance deployed, says the London Ambulance Service. So they've got the take from first responders here. No need to really read that. Loads of pictures here. Heavy police presence in Golders Green. So they're saying, look how seriously this is being treated. They have to say that. We were first on the scene. This is a bit of a puff piece about Shomrim security. And basically, this is all about reinforcing why the Jewish community have a right to their own private vigilante service. Now, just remember, white Brits don't have that right. If we were to do something like this, if we were to set up a group to protect white girls, it would be called vigilantism. Not in this case. Where did the attack happen? This is a repeated bit of news. So they keep doing this. They keep reiterating this was outside a synagogue for obvious reasons. Security on high alert in resilient Golders Green community. I mean, obviously they're using the term resilient as if this is sort of an everyday occurrence there. Now, what is an everyday occurrence is the grooming, sexual assault, abuse, rape, trafficking, murder of white girls at the hands of migrant men. I don't think Jews suffer in that way. I'm pretty confident in saying that. Then 3 hours after the initial reporting, formally declared a terrorist incident, counter-terror assistant commissioner says. Head of counter-terrorism policing, assistant commissioner Lawrence Taylor, is now speaking. He says the attack has been formally declared a terrorist incident. Southport was never declared a terrorist incident. Now, I don't know how you can declare it a terrorist incident that quickly. If it is a terrorist incident, why was he stabbing Muslims earlier in the day? Also, what we know now is Axel Ruda Cabana had several Islamic terror documents on his computer. He had ordered all the ingredients to produce ricin. Yet, despite all of this, it was never a terrorist incident in Southport. I think we've got some double standards there, guys. Police trying to determine whether the Jewish community was deliberately targeted. So here we have something that's a little bit contradictory. But just above, we get to the real stuff here. Words of condemnation are no longer sufficient, says Chief Rabbi. Chief Rabbi Sir Ephraim Mirviz says words of condemnation are no longer sufficient following this morning's attack. This must be a moment that demands meaningful action from every institution, every community, every leader, and every decent person in our country, he writes on X. This is a hatred that we must face down together. Now, look, I think we need to look at this particular statement. Imagine if I'd gone to Southport the day of the Southport killing and said, words of condemnation are no longer sufficient. We must face this down. I'd have been arrested. They would have said that was a call to violence. Words of condemnation are no longer sufficient. He's angry about this, isn't he? We must face this down. Well, after Nottingham, the message was Nottingham loves. Multi-faith ceremony. After the Manchester Arena bombing, there weren't any words of condemnation. Everyone sang Don't Look Back in Anger. We weren't allowed to be angry. You can't look back in anger. There was some paid actor in the crowd there to sing Don't Look Back in Anger because white people aren't allowed to be angry. But here you have the chief rabbi, words of condemnation are no longer sufficient. Now, I'm going to go as far as to say white people would not be allowed to behave like that or to speak like that. Met Police Chief speaking soon. Met Police Chief begins speaking. This is all, as I said, same day. They're going to bring his words to us shortly, apparently. Unarmed officers feared the man was carrying explosive device. Feared. He basically says, Rowley continues by saying his first thoughts are with the two British Jews attacked while going about their daily lives, which they should be able to do freely and safely. He also pays tribute to the police officers whose actions were undoubtedly prevented further injuries and saved lives. He goes on to say they confronted a terrorist. These were not armed officers. They feared he was carrying an explosive device, which clearly he wasn't, or it doesn't seem that he was. And he basically goes through the motions. Again, here's the mantra. An attack on one community is an attack on all of London, says the commissioner, reading from his carefully prepared little cards. You know, this is exactly what Starmer and Badenoch and the Home Sec, everyone said. You know, they're all reading from the same thing. This was an attack on Londoners. It was an attack on British Jews. Too many Jewish people in this country feel they have to make choices that no other Briton ever has to make. Again, Mark Rowley is absolute anti-white scum. White people all over this country fear walking through multicultural areas every day. White girls are groomed, pimped, raped every day. To suggest that it's only Jews that suffer in Britain is not only manifestly incorrect, but it is insulting, anti-white, and if this sort of double standard was being used against any other community, it would be called racist. Why don't we see more condemnation of recent attacks, Rowley asks. This guy, oh, what utter filth he is. He goes on to say that we're not seeing enough condemnation. Rowley goes on by saying that anti-Semitism is fueled by hateful and extremist ideologies. We can see where this is going. It comes from hostile states, the extreme right and the extreme left. These are terrorist and hateful belief systems. Terrorist belief systems, but they are all rooted in racism, he says. You can see what they want to do with this, can't you? False flag city. Bring in the new speech laws. The commissioner says it's time to ask some difficult questions. Why don't we see more condemnations of the attacks we've seen in recent weeks? Where are all the voices against hate? And where is the solidarity with fellow Londoners who are being targeted simply for who they are? He adds that debate about international affairs should never be allowed to legitimise anti-Semitism or violence against British Jews or here on the streets of London. And when that line is blurred, attacks become more likely. New laws barring you from criticising the state of Israel are clearly incoming. Commissioner heckled as he addresses the media over attack. So the Jews are actually heckling Mark Rowley. And they're chanting shame on you because we haven't done enough for Jews, apparently. Some encouraged to commit hate crimes by foreign organisations or hostile attacks. This is just a rehash of what we read earlier. Completely understandable why Jewish Londoners feel afraid. I mean, this is really interesting, isn't it? Because you'd never get a police officer saying it's completely understandable why white parents fear to let their girls out at night because they might be raped by migrant gangs or Pakistani Muslims. But you can say that Jews feel afraid. You know, you can say Jews feel afraid. Again, shame on you are the chants because we haven't done enough for them. We need to hear from moderate majority who want to root out hate, says Sarah Sackman. So it's appalling. An attack on Britain's Jews is an attack on Britain itself, she says. How many times are they going to repeat that? You know, they've all got the little cue card, haven't they? She says she's just been with the Home Secretary and the Prime Minister has called a COBRA meeting. Again, totally disproportionate response. Two Jews are stabbed, COBRA meeting called. There was no COBRA meeting. No COBRA meeting after Southport. Incredible. What we've learned from the police, well, they're just rehashing. Home Secretary says government will strain every sinew to protect the UK's Jewish community. The Home Secretary says the government will strain every sinew to keep the Jewish community safe following this morning's attack. Shabana Mahmood says she will not tolerate a situation where our Jewish citizens have to lead smaller lives to keep themselves safe. Again, another piece of absolute scum. Nobody, no Home Secretary said we're going to strain every sinew to ensure white girls can walk the streets of towns and cities without being groomed. And no one ever said that they wouldn't tolerate a situation where white girls have to lead smaller lives. No one ever said that, did they? Ministers have already been taking action on security and ensuring Jewish community sites are well protected, she said, adding that an enhanced police presence will continue. Again, there was never an enhanced police presence. The only time police turned up during the grooming scandal was to arrest dads and other angry whites who tried to intervene and stop the grooming from taking place, because you can't have that, can you? You can't have white people standing up for themselves. But we will go further, she tells reporters, including on action to tackle the root causes of anti-Semitism in society. Mark my words, new laws are incoming. On the police investigation, Mahmood says the initial circumstances of the attack suggest it is correct to designate it as a terrorist incident. What utter scum. Analysis by Dominic Cassicani. I don't know who he is. He's a legal correspondent. Police move quickly to declare a terrorism incident. And that's unusual. Yes, it is. Counter-terrorism police officers have a tried and tested system for assessing whether a violent incident counts as terrorism. Put simply, they look at the initial evidence and work out whether the act of violence was carried out in an attempt to influence the government or to intimidate the public or a section of it in order to advance a political, religious, racial or ideological cause. That is the legal definition of terrorism set out in our laws. But in recent years, the police have hesitated from making speedy calls, partly because of the outcome of the 2021 bomb blast outside the Liverpool Women's Hospital. Police called it terrorism, but ultimately there was no evidence that the man held extreme views. Absolutely. I mean, these people get real. And plenty that he had been very mentally unwell. After that, counter-terrorism chiefs indicated that sometimes they will need to take longer to make the call one way or another. The fact they have called this terrorism so quickly today indicates very strongly that they believe they have evidence that points to an alleged mindset. That can often be something the suspect has said, the type of victim, or the material found on their phone or computer. It is actually wearing listening to these people, isn't it? The king is deeply concerned after the attack. The king has spoken. Buckingham Palace has just shared a statement which reads, His Majesty is being kept fully informed and is naturally deeply concerned, in particular about the impact for the Jewish community. His thoughts and prayers are with the two individuals who are injured and offers his heartfelt gratitude to those who so selflessly rushed to their aid. I don't know whether he commented after Southport. If I was a betting man, I'd say no. Again, More lurid footage, the kind of footage you couldn't have after Southport. Too early to say if the attack was linked to Iran. I mean, there were people, obviously, who were looking at this, rubbing their hands, thinking, how much can we get out of this? Can we link this to Iran? Can this be the reason for us to start bombing Iranians? You can see it, can't you? You can see the way this was responded to. In fact, it's actually quite enraging, isn't it, to see this all playing out. And there'll be people saying, oh, look at this, Doris. They reckon it might be linked to Iran. I knew we should have helped Trump. Look what's happened because we didn't bomb the Iranians. You can see what they're doing. This is propaganda of the most transparent kind. Visibly Jewish people not safe on British street, chief rabbi tells the BBC. What about visibly white little girls? The chief rabbi has told BBC News that visibly Jewish people are not safe on British streets after the attack. I'm sad to say this event proves that if you're visibly Jewish, you're not safe and far more needs. Of course, far more. We can't do enough for these people, can we? He says he wants to hear British voices across the country stand with the Jewish community and condemn these attacks. God, more needs to be done. We need to tackle not just symptoms, but causes. We need to recognise that state-sponsored terrorism on the streets of our country is simply unacceptable. New laws incoming. Got to please that rabbi. Anti-Semitic incidents in the UK have risen in recent years. Well, thank you for sharing that. I wonder if that's because of all of the Muslims that the Jews have endorsed bringing into this country. Here we go. Khan determined to make extra policing for Jewish community permanent. Look again, his stupid face. Why do they all have such stupid faces? It's like a prerequisite, isn't it? If you're going to be in a position of power, you have to look like a complete donkey. But again, straight away, they're all falling over themselves. More money, more policing, more protection.